Time had run away from me again, but I couldn't afford to let it escape. Not today. It chastised me like an unruly student with every tick and tock. Even as a child, I could never be constrained by time, could never obey its laws or heed its lessons. Time had finally grown impatient with my attempts to catch up. I stumbled on my way to the giant elevator that would take me topside. The elevator only operated twice per hour, and we were late. I was late. That was the downside to a city run by divine beings who could manipulate time. Everything ran like clockwork. The printing presses, the stock markets, the trams, the elevator. Everything but me. I can't believe we're chasing a tram, Drew whined as we scrambled for all we were worth over the train tracks. Her breathing rasped between a sigh and a wheeze.
We'll never make it.
We will if you shut up and run, I spat.
Of all the things I thought would go wrong, I never thought we'd miss the tram.
Yes, you've mentioned that a few times already.
Who even does that?
Drew should know you better by now, my inner voice berated. Though if you'd left on time, you wouldn't be running through tunnels. Great. Not even my own mind would shut up about the pissing tram. Too many lives were depending on the documents hidden inside my satchel, which now slammed into my hip with each harried step. These documents were vital papers for refugees seeking a new home on Chime. Without these, they wouldn't be cleared to receive their passport and make the crossing. Then they'd be trapped inside my god's domain with no means of appeasing her greed. When one's god demanded such heavy tithes of her own mortals and punished those who couldn't afford to pay, the poorest had no choice but to run, to seek the only city where not even the gods could tread. And that's where my organization stepped in. Too many mortals came to Chime seeking a means to pay the tithe, and most were desperate enough to enter workhouses to scrape together what they could. But we knew a better way. Out of our god's sight, they were out of her mind, and free from her whims. Not even the gods bothered to track their many thousands of mortals, leaving such tasks for the wardens, the gods' mortal eyes. With these documents, we'd forge new identities that not even the wardens could track. Then our refugees would be forgotten. But only if we smuggled them out before the next tithe count. We'd hurried to get these documents signed, stamped, and sealed. All fake, of course. But navigating Chime's bureaucratic system had rushed us to the last ticking second. And then I'd gone and missed the bloody tram. My lungs heaved with the stale air that permeated the undercity. Stumbling through the tunnels wasn't part of our grand operation, but when one worked for an organization that existed in the shadows, one improvised as best as one could. One should move one's ass faster. At least my Vespa eyes could navigate the tunnels better than Drew's umber ones, though I kept glancing back to make sure I didn't lose her. She trailed her palm against the pipes, which ran along the walls as her guide. I knew darkness well, but she knew those pipes. The soles of my flats struggled to gain traction on the grime and soot, coating the gravel underneath, and the shawl wrapped around my neck flew behind me like a cloak. I'd be feeling the burn of my calves for days. But soon, the tunnel opened into the cavernous undercity station. The silvery blue glare of the aether lamps lit our path, the only ward against the encroaching darkness. And beneath sat our tram, snuggled into its bay and puffing out smug clouds of steam as commuters poured out onto the platform. Drew bumped into me, and we both sagged against each other's shoulders to catch our breath. The two of us stood at the same height of 6 feet, standard size for a Vespa, though short for a number.
I still can't believe we chased the tram,